OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church. The meeting house is located in Northfield, Minnesota. For all my enemies that are looking for me, I'm not hard to find. 1030 Highway 3 South, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. You can find us there. We meet there on Sundays and Wednesdays and sometimes Saturdays before we go out to pray. But we're always around somewhere. You can find us. As we go preach the word of God, as we will be doing here this week, this Saturday, we'll be preaching the word of God in the open air to lost sinners who desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ and who need to be saved before they die and go to a devil's hell for all of eternity. But as the title of the broadcast says, Pastor Cooley's open apology to the LGBTQ. Now, I just saw, let me show you. I just saw the Church of England. They had a formal apology to the LGBTQ. So I thought, well, okay, that's one. All right, well, let's see. Then this guy, he brings in the lesbian, and he kind of has his own sort of apology when it comes to that, you know, letting them in and act like he was wrong. And then you have the former SBC president's son defending Andy Stanley's absolutely wicked remarks. So there you go. So I thought, well, there's another fella apologizing. And then the Pope, he's a sorry sucker. He's always sorry, not about the right things. But he's got that worldly sorrow that leadeth to death. And I thought, well, even the Pope's apologizing. Well, since we're all in the spirit of apologies, I thought it would be a good idea for me to add my apology to the mix. I thought, what a good idea. And don't forget about that guy. That guy has his own apology. I mean, look at him. That guy. Right there. He's sorry. He's a sorry sucker too, ain't he? Well, he's sorry. He's got the "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy" look on his face. Never, never, never forget about that guy. Wherever you go and whatever you do, just remember that guy is always around somewhere, giving you that look. So I thought, well, everybody's apologizing, so I should do the same thing. I should do the exact same thing. Right? Oh, some of you said you didn't see that guy. All right, well, let me find him for you. Hold on. I can always find that guy. I can find another one for you. Hang on a second here. Right here. Is that my page? That's not my page. What's going on? There we go. All right, here we go. Let me see. There's got to always be a way. He's somewhere around here. Let's see where he's at here. Oh, that's not it. Let's see. All right, let's go to there. There he is. For your viewing pleasure, it's that guy. Wherever you go, whoever you know, you don't know anybody until you know that guy. Right? There he is. So, everybody was in the mood for apologizing, so I thought, you know what? I need to apologize too. So, I wrote out my own apology. And I'm going to apologize to the LGBTQ community, as they like to call themselves, bunch of barbarians. But I'm gonna apologize myself, because I only see it fitting that if everybody else is gonna, then some representative of Old Paths Baptist Church, since all these other jokers decided to, I should probably do the same thing. So that's what I'm going to do. I've got a list of things that I need to apologize for. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? All right. Well, let's look at this right here, okay? The Church of England issues a formal apology to LGBTQ for being homophobic. Well, we'll get into that term homophobic in a little while here. But here's what they said. We want to apologize for the ways in which the Church of England has treated the LGBTQ. Now, if they stopped right there, I'd agree with them. The bunch of sorry saps, they ought to apologize for it. The bunch of theological derelict devils, they should apologize. They ought to be sorry for. They really do. But not for what they want to apologize for. That's not the problem. So I'm going to give you the list. He'll give you a list of apologies. And here's Amy Grant. She decided it's a good idea to apologize. So really what these people are saying is that they're repenting of a former position. So I don't want to confuse you today. I'm not repenting of a former condition. A former position. So I don't want you to be confused about that. I'm not repenting of a position that I held. I'm not sorry for the position that I hold. Being a biblical one, I'm not at all sorry for that. But I do have some things that I'm sorry for that I want to give to the LGBTQ people. Okay? And I didn't add this one to the list, but I'm going to add it. Number one, I'm sorry that people actually made you believe that Donald Trump was a real Christian while he supported the LGBTQ. That he actually made you believe that there could be Christian LGBTQ. And I'm sorry that the religious right supported him while he was teaching something and representing something that was opposite of the scriptures. I'm sorry that somebody supported that. I'm sorry that somebody deceived you into believing that. That was actually biblical. It's really sad. It's really sad that so many Bible-believing Christians supported a man who did more professedly for the LGBTQ community than anyone else. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't tell them they were sinners on their way to hell, and if they didn't repent, they were going to split hell wide open. I'm sorry they didn't tell you that. I'm sorry Christians didn't remain consistent. Because let me tell you something, bucko. I remained consistent through it all. I didn't compromise with those positions. I remain faithful in telling you that if you don't repent, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. No matter what, some politician pampers you all the way to hell. Okay, that was the first one. The second one. I apologize that so many pastors change the word of God in order to make your sin palatable. What does the Bible say? It says they handled the word of God deceitfully. Look. But have therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. So, I apologize that pastors told you that your sin was okay with God. I'm sorry they did that. I am sorry about that, aren't you? Hey, Paul, can you show Paul Begley? Can you show me anything that I've said that is unscriptural? Do it, big boy. Let's see it. Put your little fingers where your mouth is running and let's see it. Show me anything that I said unbiblical. What did I say unbiblical, Paul? No, I want Paul Begley to answer me. Gird up your loins like a man and show me anything that I just said unbiblically. Show me what I said unbiblically. Come on, Mr. Theologian. Show me. Let's hear it. Show me. There we go. Okay. Now we'll keep going. I apologize that so many pastors change the word of God in order to make your sin palatable. I do apologize for that. Number three, I apologize that so many pastors stop preaching about these sexual sins from the pulpit. I apologize that they stop preaching the word of God. They stopped informing people that they've sinned against God, that God is angry with their sexual perversions and their sins. I do apologize for that. Don't you? That these men have stood up in pulpits across this country and they've allowed this sodomite movement to completely take over without warning those sinners. Yeah. I do apologize for that. That pastors stop naming sexual sins from the pulpit. By the way, all these pastors that don't want to teach against sexual sins from the pulpit, all of the, and I don't mean you got to get into gory, nasty details. You know what I believe about that. It's preaching against sexual sins. Why aren't they doing it? Paul preached against fornication. right? Paul preached against it. It was the sin of the Gentiles, sexual sins and fornication, and they're not doing it. Yeah, I apologize for that. I apologize for the fact that these men have sold out. Next, I apologize that so many pastors stopped preaching and teaching on the order of the sexes. They just quit doing it altogether. They don't preach the proper roles of man and women. They don't preach them any longer. They don't instruct people any longer. So I apologize for that. They don't teach on the order. They don't teach what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman and what your responsibilities are. In the beginning, God made them male and female. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. They just quit preaching it. They don't talk about it. Why? Because they're going to offend people that aren't living right in their churches. So they've stopped doing it. So yeah, I apologize. I apologize that so many pastors stopped identifying two genders only, but have brought it to a multi-gender hysteria. They bought into it. They no longer preach very clearly on genders and gender specifics, and that in the beginning, God made them male and female. No, you got men that suffer Jezebel and suffer all these people to come into their pulpits and to preach this garbage in their churches. The Southern Baptist Convention is absolutely full of this garbage. And mainstream ecumenicalism is full of this garbage. They don't preach it. Yeah, I apologize for that. I apologize that some of these people don't have anywhere to go where a man will square his shoulders up, look in their eyes and tell them, God is angry with your wicked sin and you don't have a right to live like that. And if you do, you're going to die and go to hell. Where there's no mealy-mouthed preacher that is afraid of everybody. That's all that's out there today. Right? That they back off and they get nervous and they don't want to take a stand. Why? Because somebody in their congregation has a kid that ain't living right, that's a sodomite or something else, so you're afraid to preach on it. Man, that's an even bigger reason to preach on it. They might leave. Let them. At least they'll know where to come back to. At least they'll know there's a man of God that'll stand up and preach, that won't compromise, that won't walk away from it, that won't run away. So many pastors stopped identifying. They don't want to make those things clear. For some reason, this guy, Paul Begley, wants to attack my wife now. Well, you're definitely gone now. You can attack me all you want to, but you're not going to talk about my wife. You'll just be gone. You stinking weirdo. See ya. And like I said, anytime you want to straighten me out with a King James Bible, come look me up. I ain't hard to find. Now, back to the lesson at hand. I apologize that these pastors they've sold out. That's the next one. I apologize. These pastors have sold out for money. Let's see here. How about we go to Romans 1? That's right, Heidi. Romans chapter 1. Look what these people are. The Bible talks about them. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They changed the truth of God. What did they do? They sold out for money. These people, all they do is sell out for money. These pastors, all they've done is sell out for money. They don't talk about stuff because of their bodies, bucks, and their buildings. And they changed the truth of God into a lie. I'm sorry that somebody did that. I'm sorry that's who those people are. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that they've misrepresented who God is to an entire generation. So men no longer fear God. They think God is just some happy dude up in the air somewhere, some grandpa Santa Claus that's gonna, or some genie in a bottle. That's how they represent God today. That God's not angry about anything. And you expect me to represent God like that. And some of you get mad at me because I don't represent God like that. Because I don't preach God like that. Well, I preach the God that is found in that book. The Holy One. Not one made in my own image that I've carved out. They've preached a different God to you. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. That's who they preach now. That's the God that they preach. That's the God that many pastors and churches are preaching today. So I apologize. That's the one that's been represented to you. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. Their God's not angry about anything except the one that stands up for God's holiness. See, that's who they are. That's who they represent. So I certainly apologize that somebody has misrepresented God to you and put him in the image of a man, a corruptible man, and made him like you. You want me to show you? Let me say this to you. I'm going to show you something here. I want to show you somebody that made a God in their own pocket. One that accuses Jesus Christ of being a sinner. This man is a sodomite little sorcerer witch, is what he is. There's a special little hot spot in hell waiting for this fella.
Let's move on to something that I think some people watching this are probably wondering if we're going to get into. I didn't realize you had created quite the YouTube content.
He's like, yeah, let's get into it. They're both like smiling about it. Like, yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into me calling Jesus Christ a sinner. It'll be great. Let's do it. What a devil with absolutely no fear of God before his eyes.
Controversy on these statements. I first came across it in your book, and when I read this, I stopped. I was like, wow, I did not see that coming. And then I watched a couple of the YouTube videos just to see some of the conversation. So you know where this is going, but here's what you wrote. You said, I believe it clearly evidenced in the Gospels. Even Jesus made mistakes. Now you reference Matthew 15. I've seen a YouTube video on this. You've done a TikTok video, I guess, that went viral. Back up this claim, and then let's talk about it.
Yeah. Well, first, I want to start this because I know people are shocked, and we're shocked when I say.
No, I'm not shocked. Listen, I'm not shocked, okay? Now, let me be very clear with you. In the scriptures, there was only one inspired ass that spoke. Right? Only one. And it was a female. But I've definitely noticed a number of uninspired asses speaking now. And this is one of them.
Said it, but this is not something I've made up. Again, there is quite a long tradition of liberation theologians and various theologians that have interpreted this the same way that I've interpreted it. And so I want to begin there. But there's a story in Matthew 15 and also in Mark chapter 7 that are quite similar. A woman comes to Jesus begging him, will you heal my daughter? She's ill. She's about to die. Please heal her. This woman is identified in both passages slightly differently, but as a different religion and different ethnicity than Jesus. Jesus's response to the woman, it is not good to give the children's food, meaning the children of Israel, to the dogs. Stop there. We can pause there. That, regardless of whatever theological explanation we're going to get to afterwards, does not seem to be a kind and compassionate answer to a woman whose daughter's on death's door begging Jesus to heal her. And
okay, let me stop here and say this. Jesus is God, you moron. He's holy. He knows how to answer everybody, and he stopped the mouths of every fool that ever spoke to him. Think about that. He stopped the mouth of every fool that ever spoke to him. They had nothing they could say in return. God knows exactly what people are going to say to him. Jesus was not deceived as to what this woman was doing. He was testing her heart, not for himself, but for her. Just like God poses things in our lives for a purpose and a reason. But I wouldn't expect you to understand that because you're a little lost witch on your way to hell. So you don't understand the work of the Holy Ghost. You don't understand biblical conviction because your conscience is seared with a hot iron and you believe that anal rape is love.
He uses a word, dog, that, again, conservatives push back and say, well, the word in Greek is actually.
Let me say something else to you. For some of you out there that it might shock you. Jesus recognized different races. This is why I don't buy in to Ken Ham's there's only one race thing. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Jesus recognized other races. Plainly. That's not a sin. That's not wrong. It's also not wrong to tell her she was a Goya or a dog. It's not wrong. Why? He's God. That's not racist. Recognizing other races is not racist. Or it's not racist. It's not hateful, satanistic racism. Because what did Jesus also say to the Samaritan woman? He had the parable of the Good Samaritan. That you're to love your neighbor. You're to love other races. You're to love other peoples and nations and tongues. And you're to translate the scriptures. I just don't believe in this whole one love, yo, 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 yo stuff these guys do. It's just not there. It's not. And if you think I'm a racist because of that, tough. You can think all you want to. I ain't never been mean to nobody because of their color. And I ain't never hurt nobody because of their color. Or race or whatever you want to call it. There are different races. Period. Look at the Bible. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They're there. All that is one world government lingo, Babylonian lingo. Now, you don't have to agree with me, and you're still going to be my friend. And you don't have to believe everything I say. But one thing you can't believe is that Jesus was a sinner and that he was wrong for what he did here. That is modern day garbage. It's an attack on the deity of Christ. Plain and simple. Okay.
Puppy, and so it's not as not as offensive as what it would be. I think the most basic reading is that Jesus operated in a system in which there were clear ethnic biases and divisions that's seen all throughout the New Testament. And Jesus here is leaning into a cultural division that says, no, I'm giving...
Jesus is here leaning into a cultural division. He's leaning into a cultural division. Jesus is God. Jesus came in the flesh. The Holy Ghost shadowed Mary's womb. And Jesus is God. And he also came as King of the Jews. And Jesus, earthly speaking, is the Jew. Right? He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who Jesus is. Okay? And, you know, for all these white people out there, there's a bunch of white people out there that do think that they're superior. Well, I hate to break it to you, but Jesus didn't come as a white dude. He came as a Jew. So, if anybody would be superior, it wouldn't be white dudes, okay? All right? So, anytime you think Pastor Cooley must be a white supremacist, not quite. Not quite. Oh, anyway, it's funny. But, and we know that God, listen, I understand dispensationally about God and what God is dealing with. I do. Anyway, but yeah, I heard all the arguments, Brian and Debbie. I just don't buy it. Color does not equate race, and some aren't Shemite, but Shem, Ham, and Japheth are examples of Shemite people, of different groups of people, and Hamites and everyone else. I just don't buy the whole one Babylonian, we're all one race thing. I don't buy it. I don't buy. Yeah, I have a Bible and I can see it, and I just don't buy it. I'm sorry that 50 years ago, somebody came out with all this like Ken Ham and his Ark, and now all of a sudden, everybody has to believe this stuff. Well, that's not... Historically, no one believed that, that there was no distinctions that were out there. No one believed that until modern-day teachings that taught that. Anyway, but that's... I don't think anybody's any better. I didn't say anybody was better. I just said that if somebody was better, it'd be the Jews, because Jesus came as a Jew. So anyway, but so whatever. But I don't care if anybody agrees with me. You don't have to agree with me, and I ain't going to lose sleep over it. I'm just not. I'm just not going to be like, I'm not going to be like this guy, and I'm not going to say that everybody's all the same. I'm not going to lie like that. I'm just not going to do it. You won't get me. I'm not going to be stupid and say, nope, there's no differences at all. That's just ridiculous. Every culture is going to, and every one of those groups are going to have different cultural distinctives and different things. It's just the way it is. Now, you can have the argument whether you believe it's okay to mingle them together. That's totally up to you to have that argument. That's not my argument here. That's not what I'm saying. There are differences. So, and historically, they were always recognized as differences. But look, you could take this guy's word for it, and you could say, nope, Jesus recognizing those differences, he must be wrong. Really? He's God. He's the one that did it at the Tower of Babel. He's also the one that repopulated the earth with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he did that. So that's not my duty. I didn't do it. I just believe it. Because I'm not worried about being politically correct. So everybody, oh, you might be labeled this. I don't care. You can label me whatever you want to. But that's what Jesus just said. But this joker right here is trying to say that Jesus was wrong. Listen.
Division that says, no, I'm giving the children's food. I'm here to heal my people, my disciples, not you. And the woman says, well, even dogs deserve the crumbs from the table. And Jesus is taken aback by this.
Okay, stop. Where did it say that Jesus was taken aback? Where do the scriptures say that Jesus was taken aback by what this woman said? Right? Where does it say that? Jesus wasn't taken aback by her. He wasn't shocked and stunned. All right, let's see here. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs. Oops, that's the wrong one. Sorry. Here it is, Mark 7:28. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. I think he was being very clear there, wasn't he? And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. What did she show? Humility. Different than the rich young ruler and says, hey, Lord, I've done everything perfect. I am Mr. Perfect. Pat me on the back. I am Mr. Perfect. Now, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Because it'll be an honor for you to let me into heaven. And what did Jesus say to him? Go thy way, sell all that thou hast, and take up thy cross and follow me. And for this saying, he went away sad, because he had much substance. What happened? Christ humbled him. What was this woman? Humbled already. Jesus didn't say, look, lady, I repent for calling you a dog. I was wrong for calling you a dog. I should never have done that. That's not what Jesus did. He recognized her faith in him to heal her. That's what he did. He recognized it. But this guy is calling Jesus a sinful racist. That's what he's doing.
And says, woman, great is your faith. Your daughter is healed. I think those stories, like most of the gospel stories, are condensed. If this is indeed a real historical event, it was probably a little bit more.
Did you hear that? If this is indeed a literal historical event. Do you see that he is saying? What he is saying? He is literally saying, he doesn't even believe this is biblical. He doesn't even believe that what he is saying is biblical. He doesn't believe that's the word of God. That's what he's doing. Right? That's what snakes like this do. And McDowell here, whose father I think is Josh McDowell, I'm not sure, I could be wrong about that. But he's actually denying the only Lord God that bought him and bring upon himself swift destruction. These are the false prophets and the wolves I warned you about. The ones I told you they were. They're the one pushing this LGBTQ stuff because he's a sodomite.
More complex than what we just have in the Gospels. But I think the point is this woman pushes back, challenges Jesus on this bias that he has, and Jesus turns and does the right thing.
He turns and he does the right thing. This woman challenges Jesus and he turns and does the right thing. And you're assuming he was doing the wrong thing. Well, I hate to break it to you, but God is just to throw your butt in hell. If Jesus says to us, by the way, did you also know that there are times when you come to God that he answers you in a harsh way? That there are sometimes that God comes to you when you're praying to God and you go to God and he answers you sometimes in a harsh way and he hides himself from you in that sense and he does not answer you specifically that way that you would like him to answer you? Because God is dealing with your heart, just like Jesus was doing heart surgeon work right there to her heart. He was doing a spiritual circumcision on her heart, and that's what he does sometimes. I went through a time in my spiritual, in my Christian life where God was dealing with my heart about things and God was allowing things to happen to me and he was pulling his assurances from me in order to teach me to trust him by faith and not to believe my own feelings, my own senses, or anything else, but to believe him for the very word's sake. But this guy wouldn't know anything about that because he's lost. He's a lost, wicked devil that's representing a different Christ. That's why. That's who these people are. So next, let me say this. Apologize that so many pastors have told you that God is not angry with your sin. I apologize for that. That so many pastors look at Psalm 7:11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. You know what? I apologize that so many pastors have tricked you into believing, you LGBTQ people, into believing that God is not angry with your sin. That God is not angry with you. I certainly apologize for that. that they've preached to you another God. We'll get to that. But so many pastors have told you that God is not angry with your sin. That God is love and God is not angry. I want to show you something. Look what God said here. Look how he said how bad Israel would get if they turned away from God. Then will I walk unto you also in fury, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sins, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons. And the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. That's a strong word. What does that word abhor mean? To hate extremely. Or with contempt. To loathe, detest, or abominate, to despise or neglect, to cast off or reject. Leviticus chapter 26. He said, my soul shall abhor you. See, that's the God of the Bible. That's what the God of the Bible does, friend. God hates sin. And when the sinner and his sin are not spiritually circumcised and the sinner is not by Christ Jesus when they're saved, when you get saved by the grace of God, there is a spiritual circumcision that takes place. That God takes that King James Bible. He takes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. He divides it. He spiritually circumcises you. Man, I got to take this off. I'm heating up. He spiritually circumcises you. And he separates your soul from your body. That way, the soul, before you're saved, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But he separates the soul from the spirit. He separates you. That's the difference. We that are saved by the grace of God have spiritual circumcision. Not made with hands. Hebrews. That's not talking about you making coffee either. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's that spiritual circumcision with the sword. Separates you from your sin for all of eternity. That's what he does. Because he's a holy God and he cannot look upon sin. He cannot accept sin. He cannot accept the wickedness of the flesh. Therefore, when that spiritual circumcision is not taken place, then the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Your sin is ever upon you. And that's why the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. I'm sorry that they don't preach that. Jesus said this in Deuteronomy 32:41. I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment. I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Do you see that? That is the God that I preach. He is holy, he is righteous, and he is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, look at this. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Look at that word, whet, to rub for the purpose of sharpening. He will whet his sword. That's God. That's what he will do. He's sharpening it by friction. He will whet his sword. That's the judgment of God, friend. That's the God that we serve. That's right, Brother Ross. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry. I apologize that so many pastors told you that God's not angry with your sin. They stopped telling you that God hates your sin. I am sorry for that. I do apologize for that. Amen. I apologize at the churches. The next one I apologize for. I apologize that the churches put a all are welcome sign in the front door of the church house and stop teaching a regenerated church body. They put a sign up, all are welcome. All their signs across the country. Northfield, Minnesota is full of signs with little rainbow flags on them to let you know that all these churches are okay with you being a sodomite, a transgender, and everything else. They're okay with that. They stop preaching a regenerated church body. And look what happened. Look what has happened. Look what's happened. Right? They stop. Now everyone's welcome. So what does that mean? It means that they're not going to preach against your sin. And I'm sorry that the very places that you were supposed to go as sinners to find the truth, you go there and you find compromise. You find agreement with your sin. You find rock concerts. You find raves. You find dens of iniquity, houses of merchandise. They've compromised with the world. They have their all as welcome sign. So transgenders and sodomites who come flaming in your doors are allowed to come flame in your doors with your in your church house around your children and around your wives and around your family members. Well, let me be very clear with you. OPBC is not a 501c3 church. We are not a government entity. We are not a nonprofit organization. We are not a 508 church. We do not have a tax identification number. And you most certainly are not welcome to come there with your wicked, vile, disgusting, filthy sin. You're not welcome to come and have a gay parade. By the way, have you noticed? Remember this video? Man, you want to see a video that got more people mad at me. Oh, you got in the flesh, preacher. That's what you did. You got in the flesh, preacher. You shouldn't have told that old lady them things. You got in the flesh, preacher. That's what's wrong with you. You got yourself in the flesh. Oh, really? How about I was trying to preach the hell out of her? What do you think about that? How about the fact that this lady, this woman, this grandmother turned her two sons queer? Then commences to defend going into a transgender church meeting. Well, you should have said it nicer, and you should have really listened to her talk. Well, first of all, I was up on a pulpit preaching, first of all. Second of all, no, I didn't need to let her talk. Why? I already know what she's going to say. She needed to hear what I had to say. Because I had the gospel and the words of life, and I had the law of God. What did she have? Apostate, wicked, homosexual, transgender, wicked messages. That's what she had. But I was supposed to, you know, you should have let her talk. Really? Why? Did you really want to hear what she had to say when she told me my two sons are homosexuals? And I'm like, I'm not surprised. While you see young children being carted off inside the building with dudes wearing dresses, tricked out, right? But calm down, preacher. Why are you getting so excited? You should be more like these guys, and you should talk with a lisp like these guys, and you should be really soft and fluffy. That's what you should be, because that's what this world needs, is soft and fluffy preachers. Because we don't have enough effeminate, limp-wristed preachers out there now. We need some more of them. No, I think we need the power of God and voices that wake the dead. That's what I think we need. That's what's needed. You know why a lot of preachers don't like it? Let me tell you why a lot of preachers get to stand in criticism of this preacher right here. Let me tell you very plainly what that is. I'll tell you what that is. Number one, here's what that is. They ain't going to preach anywhere. They ain't going out on that street. See, you could preach in the amen section at the church house. And that's hard enough, by the way. That's hard enough anyway. But it's a little bit easier than going out in the open air and suffering the reproach for Christ's sake outside of the camp. Because everybody's a critic, and everybody's going to tell you what you're doing wrong. But that woman got the gospel. She got the law, and she got the gospel. And you know what? She walked away with her proud self. And you know what she said? She looked at me, and she said, "Don't you ever shut up?" And I'm like, "No, not really. Not when some Jezebel's staring me in the face." Well, I wouldn't do it like that. Well, good. Then don't do it like that. But please, do it some way. And if you do, someone will criticize that. Right? Just wait. They will. how it works. Doesn't it? So right now you have churches that all along outside of their buildings, they have these rainbow flags and they have these, I mean, I could show you 1,000 of them. I could show you all of our street preaching, right? Remember this video that I did? But all you other people out there that don't like to get excited about anything about your Christianity, you just sit on a wall like a wallflower and just sit there and die while the whole world goes to hell around you and you're shutting your mouth. You don't want to say anything. That's right. That's exactly what it is. It is a satanic ritual. That's exactly what it is. The whole thing is satanic. And I don't want this town to forget that they've been warned that that's satanic. They had a witness given to them. They had a witness and they rejected the witness. Where are they tonight? Where are they? Where are all the concerned citizens of Northfield?
God is angry with you people.
Women used to have bake sales at churches. They used to have cookie bakes. They used to have cakewalks. What happened to the cakewalk and the potluck? You switched it for the drag show? It's unreal. It doesn't even make sense. It's absolutely satanic. It's absolutely satanic. That's what it is. So we're here to preach the gospel to them. And I'm shocked.
The Bible says there is no.
I am absolutely shocked that these old people are here. I can't even believe it.
The Bible says that God resists the proud. God gives his grace to the humble. God doesn't give his grace to false religionists that glory in sin.
And by the way, that pervert up there in a dress ain't a woman either.
Jesus died for you. Why do you hate Jesus so much?
God made a male and female. There's only two. That's it, friend. Only two.
We don't buy into your unisex philosophy. We don't buy into your antichrist, unisex, new age, superstitious philosophies. We buy into the words of God. That's what a woman is. A person with a real uterus. That is what a woman is. Fallopian tubes and ovaries. That's what a woman is. God is love, and you're not. You are wicked, and God hates all workers of iniquity.
There are two genders. God made them male and female.
Hey, here's the good news. Don't miss this. God saves wicked, abominable people. But if you have pride, God will resist you.
Everybody's binary in the hospital. Because a surgeon doesn't want to open you up and see that there's no ovaries there.
In the beginning, God made them male and female. You're afraid of these people. You're afraid of these wicked perverts as they go around and pervert the whole world. And now they do it in the gospel name. Now that they're so bold as to take it and say, this is the gospel. That's what they want to do now. And you'll never be a woman, even if you dress up like one.
It's a Protestant denomination. Which means it's Catholic, it's Roman Catholic under the Antichrist, the Pope.
I'm not part of your sick delusion. That fake guy wearing a dress up there thinking he's some kind of woman. You ain't no woman, you're an abomination before God. That's what you are. And God Almighty is gonna take judgment upon you one day. You better repent and believe the gospel. Hell is hot, especially for perverts that decide to pervert children. You have the same judgment as you have pleasure in them that do such things. perverted, wicked, vile people that love their sin.
A quote, progressive Christian voice, unquote.
To be a part of them. The Bible says it is wicked. It is vile against God. It is a sin before God. And you ought to be ashamed of your sin. You ought to be ashamed that you watched perversion. You ought to be ashamed that you looked your eyes upon such wickedness. The Bible says, I will set no unclean thing before mine eyes. Male and female.
Clean and wicked things before your eyes. Vile and perverted things. What kind of women and men go...
Such perversion and wickedness. How ashamed you should be of yourselves and before God. But God has seen what you have done, and the God that you worship, the false God that you worship, the Antichrist, and all others are a figment of your sick, perverted, fallen nature. I'm here to tell you.
The Bible says, judgment, judgment, come. Upon those that hurt children. Perverts. Perverts. Old perverts. I thought grandmas had bake sales at churches. I didn't think they perverted children. What kind of grandmas are you? You old nasty perverts. I thought you'd have a bake sale. Not a drag show. Think about what you're doing. A defiled and dark depraved mind. Darkness.
Depravity. The heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. So here you have it right here, right? You have this place here. You have this church. I put that in quotes. You have this church. And what do they have at it? A drag show. So I apologize that they not only have a welcome sign, they turn the churches into drag shows. They've turned the churches into those. It's a church of the Antichrist, like I told them. All these churches that are doing this now. I apologize. Next, I apologize that evil pastors crept in unawares and tried to heal you with untempered mortar. Jude talks about those men. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's them. That's what they do. Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 13, and you'll see they tried to heal people. The false prophets try to heal people with untempered mortar. Ezekiel 13, verse number 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, and the wall is fallen. Shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. That's the warning of God. So I apologize that these men have taken untempered mortar and they've tried to heal up things. There is no balm of Gilead for them. They have no balm of Gilead. They have none. They have no healing balm to offer. They have untempered mortar. They have daubed it. And their wall will fall. And they will fall. They've said peace, peace, when there is no peace. Look what God says about that. There is no peace. Look at this. Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Jeremiah 6:14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Wherefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 8:11 says again, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We talked about Ezekiel 13. There is no peace to the wicked. Next. I apologize that so many lying, snaky, devilish pastors, instead of preaching outside of your gay pride events, they actually joined them and put booths up and were confederate with your sins. I apologize that there were more churches in Northfield. Let me see if I can find that video for you. There was one church in Northfield that stood against. Those events. One church. It's See if I can find the one I'm looking for. It was the Pride at the Park event. And I'm pretty sure I know we had it recorded somewhere. Not sure where. No, it wouldn't be there. Let's see. Let's go to videos. By the way, there was OPBC confronts the UCC pastor, a wolf, preaching a false gospel. We're standing outside of this event. They're standing for it. Remember the Nasty Granny drag show video? Here we go. Here's the United Church of Christ gospel drag show. We showed you that one. Let me see if I can find the other one. There's me getting assaulted by the children of Northfield. That was nice. Let's see. This is the event. This event right here was Angry Transgenders. I got to turn the volume down here because I don't remember if we edited that. But at this in this event right here, these transgenders are following us down the sidewalk, dancing like a bunch of sodomites, transgenders, following us to our vehicles to threaten us. Right? You got Peter Pan here or so this is at the event. By the way, this event was full of churches. Let me see if I can find that. Here's a Jezebel attorney that opposed the preaching of the gospel. This was at Pride in the Park. All of these booths inside here that you're looking at right here, all of these are full. There's like three or four churches that are in there that are at this event. These churches are supporting the event. And I guess if I was going to be sorry, I'm sorry that those apostate churches supported that event. That's an attorney that tried to threaten me and shut me down. Didn't work very well. As usual, when Jezebels come up to threaten me, I have no problem with putting them in their place. None whatsoever. Especially attorney ones that think because they're little lawyers, I'm going to walk away and I'm going to be scared of them. Ooh, now I'm afraid. Let's see. I don't know where that other video is, but one of the videos that I had before, maybe it's the year before. Oh, here we go. This is us preaching outside of that event before, and the Northfield chief of police said that I want to ruin everybody's fun, and that's why I was there, and, you know, he's going to set me straight. So that's what happened with the Northfield police. And all that good stuff. So anyway, but that event right there was a year before. And basically what he was doing, we're the only church there opposing the sin and the wickedness and warning those LGBTQ people that they need to be born again. All the other churches joined their event and became part of their events. No other church in Northfield out of 12 to 13 churches. No other one said anything. No other one stood up against them. No others warned those people that they needed to repent, but tell them, no, you're fine just the way you are. Right? No others. No others warned them that they needed to be saved. that they needed to repent, that they needed to get right with God. So I'm sorry that so many churches compromised and so many churches have joined your sin instead of warning you to flee from the wrath to come. I'm definitely sorry about that. It's sad, isn't it? All right, let's see the next one. Oh, and well, let's say you're just not that bold of a person, okay? Okay, I'll give you that. Why couldn't you stand outside and do this?
Think about your soul.
Why couldn't you stand outside with gospel tracts and warn these people? So don't preach at all.
Think about your souls. God is angry with the wicked every day. This is not a church of Christ. It is a church of Antichrist. It is a Babylonian, wicked, vile, disgusting church of Antichrist. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You ought to be ashamed of the perversion. You ought to be ashamed. The Bible says, they that do such things, they that be drunk are drunken in the night. And they that do vile things do it under the cover of night, in the darkness of night. Jesus Christ saves from the kingdom of darkness and brings men into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what the gospel does. It changes men and makes them new creatures. All things are passed away. All things are become new. The Bible hath commanded, God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Woe unto you! Woe unto you! Woe unto you who preach a false gospel! Woe unto you who drag children to a drag queen event and show them perversion! It were better for you if a millstone were hung about your neck, says God's word, and you be cast into the sea. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Woe unto you! Woe! Woe! Woe unto you who preach a false gospel! And woe! Woe! Woe unto you who watch it! The Bible says you have the same judgment as you have pleasure in them that do such things. Perverted, wicked, vile people that love their sin. The wages of sin is death. See, so maybe you are not so, maybe those pastors aren't that bold. Okay. Sure. Why wouldn't they stand outside with signs and tracts then warning these sinners that are going into these churches? Why not? Why aren't they standing outside? Why aren't they standing outside of those events? Right? Let me see here. Man, I still got a bunch of this. I got a bunch to go. Okay, I'll keep going here. Here's another one I apologize about, that the churches have turned. I apologize that the churches are more like the world than at any other time, and one cannot tell the difference between the two.
You can't tell the difference in the church and the world. They've not made a distinction between the holy and the profane. Let me see. Let me find that verse. Here it is. Ezekiel 22:6, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. God is profaned. I realize this is the Old Testament Israel, but its principles are the same. God's preachers are supposed to tell the difference between the holy and the profane. It's supposed to be clear. So I apologize that more men, more preachers have not stood outside of gay pride events and handed out gospel tracts and preached and warned them that they need to be saved. Instead, so many churches have joined the pride events. But where are the pastors that are against it? Why don't they stand outside there? But they don't. I apologize that sexual sin runs rampant through the churches today. How about that one? Fornication, pornography, adultery, divorce among Christian people and every other sexual deviancy, so as to set a bad example for all to see. Where's the warning? Where is it? Where, when they go to churches, they see the same thing. They see sexual molestation. They see pornography. They see shacking up. They see adultery. They see divorces. They see pastors running out on their wives. Way it is. I apologize for that there's not a godly example of holy men of God that stand up and preach the word of God, and members of the church that live sanctified, separated, walking in the fear of the Lord, holy, separate from sin. Church members living for God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. How about God-fearing women that aren't running around wearing leggings for clothes? Women that aren't modest. Women that are not shamefaced with sobriety in the church house. Walking around in modest apparel. Women that don't keep their bodies covered. But dressing like the world, running around in leggings. Give me a break, really? Christian women running around wearing leggings as their outerwear? Showing every figure, every curve, and every figure of your body? By the way, women cross-dressing in the churches too. Running around in men's clothing, britches. Oh, that's going to make some women mad. Just remember, Job chapter 40, verse number 7. Gird up thy loins now like a man, and I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Job 38, 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answerest thou me. Every time, gird up your loins. Dress like a lady. Dresses and skirts. Modest apparel, not clinging to your body so every curve is shown. Shirt so tight that everything is not left to the imagination. I mean it. I preach harder on the sins of God's people than I do the sodomite sins. I'm sorry that those that the LGBTQ people see a church that's no different than the world. By the way, if you think just because you're an old lady, you can wear anything that's painted on your body and you can paint it on because nobody cares to look at you and you can chop all your hair off, well, you got another thing coming. Those commands still apply to you. And if you're going to get on the transgender movement for cross-dressing and the sodomite groups and all those other people, you better look in the mirror and get that right. Amen. I ain't in a popularity contest. I already know nobody likes me. So I apologize that you go to church and when you look at it, when you walk in, it looks like the world. It's a big flesh show. Women aren't dressed like women. Men aren't dressed like men. Nobody wants to be modest. Nobody. Bunch of metrosexual men in the pulpit. Metrosexual men in skinny jeans running around with their little sweatshirts and skinny jeans on. Looking like a big old fruit salad. Women walking around looking more manly than men. Men walking around looking like they got leggings, they got the underclothes of a woman on. No wonder they can't tell the difference. By the way, just in case you haven't figured it out, it says, gird up your loins now like a man. That ain't changed any in the New Testament, sister. Men gird up their loins. I bet you do, but you ain't the only vampire I ever ran into, that's for sure. Count Dracula. Next. I apologize that the Pope and other men have told you that we are all God's children when we are not. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. The Pope told everybody today, or a couple days ago, right? He said that we're all God's children, so you should treat people good. No. You should treat people kind because you're to love your enemies. That's why you should treat people kind. Look what it says here. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you've never repented and put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, then you are not a child of God. The Bible calls you a child of wrath. It calls you the children of disobedience. It calls you one that walketh after the course of this world, after the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who you are. We are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus alone. That's what the scriptures say. So I apologize that the Pope has lied to you and other preachers, Protestant preachers have lied to you and told you that we're all children of God. It's a lie. God's warned us. By the way, look at this, what the scriptures say about children of God. I don't know who David Bomer is, and I don't know what he wants on here. Did you know that children of God is 9 times in the King James Bible? That number 9 is the number of fruitfulness. Children of God are fruitful spiritually. Children of God are fruitful. Jesus said, John said, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. In this, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So look, number 8, which is the number of regeneration in that list. Number 8, it says this for the regenerated. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. By the way, here's another one. I apologize that churches have bought into the homophobic lie. What's the homophobic lie? Well, that definition of homophobic is irrational fear of aversion to a discrimination against homosexuality or gay people. I assure you, I have no irrational fear. My fear is for God, number one. I have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. I have the fear of God. I don't have any irrational fear. I have a healthy fear of sin. I have a healthy fear of sin. And I have a healthy fear that evil communication corrupts good manners. right? So the Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners. So what does that mean? That means that you and I are not to, we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we are to look, we are to separate ourselves from the LGBTQ community. We're to separate ourselves from them. We're to preach the gospel to them out in the world and out in the streets. But we are to preach, the church is to remain a regenerated church body. That's right, Rain Country. It's funny how trolls assume they can speak for all of us by using we. I'm like, you know what I wanted to ask him? As soon as I saw it, Rain Country, I want to say, what? Do you have a turd in your pocket? Who's we? You must have a turd in your pocket. Because 60 to 70 people today at a time did want to hear it. But I assure you, I have no irrational fear. No, I'm not talking about you, Brother Robert. I know who you are. I've seen you on here before. Classic Christian Radio, the old church. I know who you are. We're not talking about you. God warns us to separate from sin and evil and wickedness. Here's another one. I apologize that someone lied to you and told you that there is such a thing as LGBTQ Christian, because there is not. There's not. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Someone lied to you. Some preacher lied to you. Churches lied to you. And I apologize, because churches lied to you and deceived you and told you that there's such a thing as that. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's that group. Effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And if there's any doubt about that, go back to the words before that. Neither fornicators. That covers all sexual sins, whether it's pornography that someone is tied into, whether it's actual physical fornication, molestation, whatever it is. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But the good news, there is hope for you. Because Paul said to the Corinthians, and such were some of you. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were effeminate. Some of you were abusers of themselves with mankind. Some of you were transgender sodomites, perverts, fornicators. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They've been saved, he said. Which tells you that those people can be saved. That Jesus saves sinners. But he does not leave you a pervert. He does not leave you someone that is without natural affection, that goes against nature. No. He delivers you from homosexuality. He delivers you from transgender. He delivers you from sexual sins and perversion. He saves your soul and he changes you and he makes you a new creature. It no longer has bondage and control over you. He translates you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of his dear son. That's the work of salvation. That's the gospel deliverance that is found in the scriptures. That's by justification in Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone. That is the grace of Almighty God, because grace is a teacher. Grace does not leave you dead in trespasses and sins. Look what grace does. Grace is a wonderful teacher. It's a better teacher than the law. Look at this. Way better. The law condemns you. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I don't want the law. I'm not good enough to fulfill that. I can never fulfill the requirements of the law. For by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. It is Christ alone that is my justification. He is my all. He is my everything. He is the one that breathed his spirit inside of me and made me a new creature. It is Christ alone. Grace is a teacher. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is the teaching of grace. This is what grace does. It does not leave a man dead in trespasses and sins, but it breathes life into him, because the gospel is alive. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel that we preach, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel is the power of God. And I apologize to you LGBTQ people that no one told you the true gospel. No one told you that you must repent, or they would not tell you that you need to repent, that your sin, that God is angry with it, that God will judge you harshly for it, that God will throw you in the lake of fire. Because the law, I shouldn't say God shall judge you harshly. God shall condemn you for your harshness against him. That's a better way to say that. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be clear about that. God is not harsh. God is just. God is holy. God is right. But what it means is that the law is unmovable. It will not move. It will not justify you. Christ came and fulfilled the law. Unlike what this sodomite accused Jesus of. This man, this lost sorcerer, dead in his sins, consumed by his own lust. And this man who's helped him. They are lost and dead in sins. They are false prophets and they are wolves. And they devour not only those that go into professing churches, but they devour those sodomites. They devour the LGBTQ people and teach them that God is okay with their sin. They lie. They are untempered mortar. And they lead men to destruction. But the gospel is well able to save your soul, because Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he rose again from the dead, that in him you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. In Christ, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And when you're saved, you can sing this song.